Winning season has officially returned, and with NFL Preseason Live, there are plenty of opportunities to win at MyBookie. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or a first-timer, MyBookie gets you the most for your money with a double deposit bonus up to $1,000. To claim your bonus, sign up and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit, and you'll instantly double your money with MyBookie. It's simple. $250 puts $500 in your account, and you can use your funds to bet on as many individual games, contests, or props as you want. Bet on team win totals. Predict the Super Bowl winner. Use the MyBookie prop builder to give yourself the edge you need to secure the bag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
What's next? What's happening? What you gonna do? You got the money you owe us?
We're putting the band back together.
You were the backbone, the nerve center of a great rhythm and blues band. You can make that live, breathe, and jump again.
Well, me and the Lord, we got an understanding.
We're on a mission from God.
So what happens now? Is the food free or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.
Hello, la la la. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine.
Doing good. How was your last worthless Sunday that you'll have to spend, as the great Eagles song once went?
Yeah, I was binging the Cowboys thing on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Can you give me your quick take on it?
Well, I heard that Jerry Jones was paid $50 million for 40 hours of interviews. So it's very heavy, Jerry.
Are you kidding me?
That's what I heard. Yeah, that
would
be...
There's no way they would have a budget for $50 million for a Netflix series. No way.
I don't know. I mean, it's his team. You got to have his cooperation. I mean, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it with Jerry. And that's, you know... That might be the price.
You know what I heard is my favorite guy, Randy Galloway, turned down.
Really?
That they had asked him to be interviewed for the piece, and he said no. Now, I don't know why that is. He's one of the rare guys that could still be doing this, and he retired, and he has no desire, like Skip Bayless, to record rants into a cell phone, which I totally respect.
Absolutely, yeah. Dale Hansen also retired, and he's in it fairly prominently. There is a lot of our friend Steve Buckhance, which I...
Really?
Not interviewed, but they use a lot of his television stuff when he was at Channel 5, which is over 30 years ago.
Wow.
I don't know why, whether they had access to Channel 5 newscasts for this, or what, but I'm seeing a lot of Buck. But I think it was episode 5 or 6 when they got into the White House and the Michael Irvin arrest on drug possession charges.
Oh, my God. Now, when Andy says the White House, that does not mean 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Correct.
In Washington, D.C. This was a sort of a party house outside of Dallas that the players would frequent, that had lots of drugs and women and prostitution and a lot of bad stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. Some of them even wouldn't discuss it. Finally, Irvin told a couple of things, and he called himself the president of the White House. I don't know how much of the money he put in to buy a house. I mean, it looks like a nice suburban house that you might see in a nice neighborhood. You know, it was not the kind of place where you expect the debauchery that was going on there.
Well, I bet a lot of the neighbors saw these incredibly expensive cars rolling up and rolling out at all hours of the night. And they probably figured, this is not the Walton family that's moved in next to us.
No, but also I think the cops tend to look the other way when the Cowboys are winning, and they were. So that had a lot to do with it. But the part about Irvin and the drug trial, man, this I did not remember. I guess it was reported at the time, But one of the people who were going to testify against him was a stripper who had been married to a police officer. And during the trial, the police officer ordered a hit on Michael Irvin, which filtered down to the courtroom. The FBI storms in while the trial's going on, and they tell the judge that they've got to get Michael Irvin out of there because there's a contract out on his head.
Oh, my God. And they were playing football and, by the way, winning during all of this.
Yeah. We know the story. If you hate the Cowboys, you're going to hate the Cowboys. But it is very good filmmaking. It really is.
Now, okay, I've heard people criticize it as basically a hagiography for Jerry. Mm-hmm. That is just, it's excusing and it's sanding down the rough edges. It is omitting critical voices. Maybe one of the reasons why Galloway said no, or maybe he didn't say no, they just knew he was going to be too brutally honest and negative about Jerry, because he was always so damn funny listening to his radio show, which I did via the internet, where he'd be like, Monday disaster, cows lose. What's Jerry going to do next?
Right. I texted Dale Hansen last night to tell him that I'd seen, you know, some of him on there. And he says, oh, they didn't use the roughest stuff that I gave them.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It is great content. It's great that it's out there. We keep getting flooded with stuff now to watch, right, about documentaries. And so we're kind of in a golden age. The one thing that I just don't like is that very few of them are scripted or narrated. They're just cut from one interview participant to another one to save money. You know, you don't have to pay a script writer or a voiceover guy.
Sometimes the narration isn't necessary. You know, sometimes you have the sound bites to make it work.
It isn't necessary, except if somebody writes a narration, it shapes what information and footage is being presented. You know what I mean? If somebody writes it, they're actually writing the story of, here's the story of Jerry Jones owning the Cowboys and everything else. I personally don't hate Jerry. And you probably say, well, why would you? He's the owner of a rival team. Mm-hmm. I just respect his business acumen. The sad thing is that the football stuff, he thinks he knows, but he doesn't. And that is why they are not winning. And they may not win even when he's gone. We'll see if his kid's any better.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the kid has talked him out of some stupid stuff, like trying to draft Johnny Manziel.
Right.
But the one thing that they showed in this last episode that I watched about Jerry and the money, he comes in, the league has a deal with Coca-Cola and Reebok. And he says, the hell with that. Makes his own deal with Nike and with Pepsi. The league sues him. This is how money is insane now. They sued him for $300 million, which if he had lost the case would mean he would have to sell the team. You know, now teams are worth, you know.
All right, so his team is, he won that case, or did the NFL drop it?
So what happened was he countersued for $750 million. So they go to the owners' meetings, and it comes time to vote or at least discuss this. And they have to excuse Jerry. He's got to leave. And Jerry says, just as he's about to leave, he turns around and he says to the owner, other owners, look, if you win this lawsuit, I'm going to have to sell the team. But if I win mine, I'm going to get every effing dollar back from you as long as I live. So anyway, they, this is when Paul Tagliabue was running the league, not the henchmen that they have now. And Tagliabue said, you know, we all got to work together. We operate as a group, you know, and you can't go rogue. And anyway, the way it worked out was they settled it, and Jerry was allowed to keep Nike and Pepsi, and everybody else has followed suit.
So that's a great anecdote. That is why I respect him, because Tagliabue, but he then overlapped into Goodell. Goodell has done nothing to earn his position. He's truly the senator's son, as the saying goes. But Jerry built his fortune as an oil wildcatter, and on moves like this, he put all his chips in there. He put himself at great risk to break up sort of a mom-and-pop, stupid communist idea of let's all share together. Jerry's like, I can make more from Pepsi and Nike. Fuck you and your deals. And so I respect that.
Yeah. By the way, on the oil cat thing, did you hear the it's in the opening episode, how he made the money to buy the Cowboys?
No.
He claims that he was $15 million in debt. And it was so serious that his wife sent her father over to make sure Jerry wouldn't harm himself. He finally decides he's going to go all in on this one well. It's the most he's ever spent to drill, $800,000, and it makes him $100 million. Wow. And he goes into great detail about the sound of that oil.
The sound of that oil. That's why he's like, I want that glory oil. So when you're that person and that's your backstory, of course you're going to do the things he's doing now. Right. That's all he's ever known. But it's not a strategy that's going to be optimal for winning a championship, I don't think. But yeah, it's similar tales to Fred Smith, who founded FedEx. He was down to his last 10 grand. He went to Vegas and turned it into 100 grand so he could meet payroll and keep the fuel in the planes for another week.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right. So I got to catch up on all that. The preseason has wound to a close. I think, is there a game tonight? We record this on Sunday night. I just got back from golf and an anniversary dinner. Mazel, mazel, 29 mazel. Years. And and I have not seen, is there a game on tonight? One last preseason
game? No, I don't think so. Everybody's into the cutdown mode now. Okay. 4 o'clock Tuesday, they all have to be in.
Okay. And the Commanders played nobody and got blown out in their final preseason game. Hey, how about that?
Yeah, no, they didn't basically play anybody in the preseason. They played Jaden Daniels for four plays, didn't throw a pass, and that was it. So the problem that they have is that they have no depth. The Ron Rivera four-year reign of stupidity basically was a dry hole for the draft. There's like three or four guys. How about this? Of the team that this group inherited in January of 2024, there, I think, are now eight players who are still on the roster from when they took over. Eight.
Wow. Yeah. So the preseason finale saw a wild difference of philosophy as to who plays, because the Commanders played nobody. A bunch of other teams did the same. But the Chiefs played Mahomes a decent amount in their game against the Bears, even though they lost.
Right.
So who's
Brady
right?
Brady used to play.
Right.
Brady used to play in the preseason, too.
Right. So nobody knows who's right or what is the optimal strategy for August and playing your starters, right?
Right. Right. And as far as winning the games and looking good, I mean, that goes back decades and decades. Some coaches cared and some don't. Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls, not caring at all who won preseason games.
Yeah. And then, of course, we had another Shador flare-up because he was in there for their final preseason affair. He did not look good. He had five sacks on 15 dropbacks, including a loss of 27 on one play, where, look, this is what he did in college. Under pressure, he would drift and retreat, and then he'd reverse field, get open, and find somebody deep. In the NFL, you cannot do that. So he was then pulled from the game for a two-minute drive for the guy's name. He just got cut today by the Browns. They put in Ty Huntley. That's who it is. Ty Huntley, who, by the way, made a Pro Bowl once, Ty Huntley. And he led him to a field goal to win the game, even though there's a ton of penalties. And a lot of people lost their mind on social media, including Skip Bayless, claiming the Browns are sabotaging their own guy. They're giving Dylan Gabriel the quicker, shorter out routes that are easy to complete. And they're keeping the better offensive linemen in. Like, people are losing their mind. They're idiots saying this stuff online, but they really believe it. Like, why would a team do that? Sabotage their own player.
Well, look, Skip is now elderly. He's in his mid-70s. Yeah. He doesn't have a job anymore other than his screams on social media.
Right.
So, yeah, he's a moth to the flame. He sees a story here, wants to attach himself to it. I don't think he's got any conviction on anything he says at any time.
I would agree with you on that. He's playing this like the Tebow thing, where he's like, if Shador goes on to be good, whether in Cleveland or somewhere else, he is buying up all the real estate on I told you so right now.
Right.
And if he's wrong, okay, fine. Just dump the real estate, the empty lots. It's not going to hurt him. Like you said, he's out of a job. And let's not forget, he got sideways with black fans over the jab he took at Shannon Sharp Remember that caused the big dust up where Shannon took like 2 days off because basically he was insulting Shannon's career, which is rich considering a guy who has wildly overinflated his own high school basketball career, right?
Yeah,
and Skip Bayless.
You know, he said that coach benched him because he was a shoot first guy.
And then somebody looked up his stats and they're like, stop lying, bro. What are you talking about?
Look, I know guys, you know guys who exaggerate their high school careers. It's okay if you do that if you're not on national television. But when it's easy to check and put it back in your face, that's not something that you do.
You know, Andy, you didn't see me play in high school. If you had, you'd have a different opinion, but thank you for the call.
If you know
on that impression right there.
I had a late friend who was a hell of an athlete, played college football, and he said, it doesn't matter how good your high school career is, because by the time you're 35, everybody is all metropolitan.
Yeah, that's so funny. So, and then the Bengals sent out invites to some of their iconic players, including the great Boomer Esiason, now doing mornings on WFAN in New York and formerly of the University of Maryland. They said, hey, we're doing our Ring of Honor, you know, weekend. We'd love for you to be a part of it. Here's a couple tickets to the game, and you'll just have to find your own hotel and flight. Boomer read the whole invite on the air on Friday. Holy shit, Andy. The optics of that from a franchise worth at least $3 billion is bonkers.
Yeah, it's more than that. I think the low end is now close to six for NFL franchises.
Yeah, but Cincinnati may only be worth three, but still, that's a ton of money. How does a team come off as this cheap? How does a team not get it? Like, hey, it's Boomer Esiason. He's the greatest quarterback we ever had.
Right. Now, is this a decision you think was made by Mike Brown, or was it made by somebody who he employs who wants to look good to Mike Brown?
That's a great question, but there's supposed to be people watching the people, watching the other people to make sure. Hold on a second. We're inviting Boomer Esiason and saying, hey, go to orbitz.com. You might be able to get a deal on a room.
Yeah, no, it's embarrassing. And, you know, we had these kind of things here with the Commanders, or they were still, I guess, the Redskins, when Dan Snyder owned them. And every time he'd get a little bit of hot water, he'd trot out Sean Taylor's carcass to do some kind of a, you know, promotion, whether it was this Dick's Sporting Goods mannequin that they put up, or having his number retired in front of a porta potty. Yeah, I mean, they were an embarrassment. The Bengals are an embarrassment. And whoever did this is a joke. That's you know, when they retired Sonny Jurgensen's number at FedEx Field a couple of years ago, they not only flew him in, they picked up Billy Kilmer, who lived nearby, a lot of his family, brought him in on a private plane. That's the way you do it.
Right. By the way, I killed James Taylor last week on the podcast. He's still alive. It was Jimmy Buffett who had passed away.
Right.
So I want to see how
James Taylor, and I didn't catch that. I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, no, okay. Me too. So I did a little list of, hey, don't forget, you know, here are the people who are alive and here's the people who are dead that you may mix them up. Like Marv Levy alive, Marty 100. Schottenheimer dead.
Right. Yeah.
Sister Jean alive.
106.
Betty White dead.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Ric Flair, who almost died 6 years ago, alive. Hulk Hogan dead.
Yeah. Right. Do you remember when Abe Vigoda was on David Letterman and Letterman put a mirror under his nose to prove to everybody he was still alive?
I do not. Wow, that is something else right there. Anyway, the Bengals are completely cheap. And I mean, good luck to anyone still there that hasn't been paid. Obviously, Burrow got paid and Ja'Marr Chase got paid. Yeah. But Hendrickson, you're out of luck. T. Higgins, you're out of luck. I mean, look, they're just a tight operation until they finally sell the team, until the Brown family gets out of the business, which who knows if they ever will.
Why would they? It continues to go up in value, and they print money from television. Why would you sell?
Yeah.
Winning season has officially returned. And with NFL Preseason Live, there are plenty of opportunities to win at MyBookie. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or a first-timer, MyBookie gets you the most for your money with a double deposit bonus up to $1,000. To claim your bonus, sign up and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit, and you'll instantly double your money with MyBookie. It's simple. $250 puts $500 in your account, and you can use your funds to bet on as many individual games, contests, or props as you want. Bet on team win totals. Predict the Super Bowl winner. Use the MyBookie prop builder to give yourself the edge you need to secure the bag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Speaking of, oh my God, did anyone look at this before you sent it out for approval? ESPN announcing their new app. By the way, you're going to subscribe at $29.99 a month?
This may not surprise you, coming from a 67-year-old. I still have cable.
Okay, that's okay. You know what? They're trying to reassemble the cable bundle through streaming, and it's going to be every bit as expensive, if not more so, and more of a pain in the ass because you got to go through 6 different apps to get everything you used to get on cable. Right. So I don't blame you for that. Like today, while playing golf, of course, the fellas were talking about, well, you know, and then I got to get this, and then I'm not sure what I want to do. Do I keep my cable? I just go, I said, just pay him the money. What are you talking about? I'm like, do you like sports? Do you like television? Just spend the money. I know you've got the money for it. Everyone wants to play the game, Andy, of, oh, I'm going to save a little here, save a little there. You ain't going to save shit. Do you want to watch the games or not?
Yeah. No, somebody did a survey that if you wanted to watch every football game broadcast this year, you would have to spend $1,000.
Right.
To do it.
Yeah, yeah. Right, because you need, let's see, Netflix, you need Peacock, you need Amazon Hulu. Prime, you need Hulu, you need Sunday Ticket. Mm-hmm. But guess what? There's nothing in the Constitution that says, thou shalt have the right to watch the entire league at no cost to the American citizen. In fact, Andy, you and I are old enough to remember when you couldn't even watch the rest of the league besides your own team and one Sunday afternoon national game and one Monday night game. That's all you got. That's why you hung on the halftime highlights with Howard Cosell. You could actually see some other players for a change.
Well, not only that, until 1973, no home games were televised anywhere. And so, like, for example, what they called the greatest game ever played between the Giants and the Colts at Yankee Stadium, 1958, not broadcast in New York. Was not.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Biggest media market in the country couldn't see the game. Yeah. And finally, in 1973, they came up with the blackout rules. And I remember we had a color television. We'd just gotten it. And I see Johnny Unitas and the San Diego Chargers in living color at beautiful RFK Stadium, which I'd never seen before.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, so don't bitch about how much it costs. If you don't want to buy the stuff, don't buy it. Go to a friend's house, borrow a password, or go to a bar and be with other people. How about that if you really want to watch the game? And let's also be honest that there's such a glut of stuff on TV. At some point, you're going to be like, I'm actually stuffed full of football. I don't really need any more football.
Yeah, I mean, look, the college season starting on the 24th of August.
Yeah, I want to get to that game in just a quick second, but back to the ESPN thing. So ESPN has their app rollout because this is going to be a big thing. They're trying to get people to pay for ESPN via an app to replace their dwindling cable subscriptions. Yeah. And they put out all the legends in one place, and it was a giant graphic. It was like an art graphic that looked like a color pencil drawing, and it had maybe 100 different faces on there, but it had the worst mix you could ever imagine, including a sport high 11 WNBA players. Did you see this?
I glanced at it briefly. I didn't know what the fuss was Andy. About it.
Okay, you got to see this. This is as bad as Monica McNutt not knowing Shedeur Sanders versus Barry Sanders jersey. This graphic had 11 WNBA players. It had three baseball players. Remember, their phrase was all the legends in one place on the ESPN app. And right. So they had 11 WNBA players. They had three baseball players, had no golfers, including Scottie Scheffler, the world's number one. They had, like, I think no UFC guys on there. They had some random things, like they had the halftime crew of the WNBA coverage as a group on there. They had the guy, remember the locker room attendant from Last Dance with the weird curly white hair?
Oh, yeah.
And
he
shrugged. He was on there. Mina Kimes's cat was on there, or dog was on there. Like, it was so bad, Andy, that by 24 hours later, they had pulled the tweet because people were roasting the shit out of it. But it literally was a case of, okay, nobody approved this. Nobody looked and said, hold on. You're saying all the legends. We got to balance it out by sport. Three baseball players. Three.
I would have had one WNBA player, Caitlin Clark. Next.
Right. I'd give them two. Give them two, and that's a fair representation. Three at the most, not 11, though. But that. Yeah. But the point is, this is what happens when you put people in charge at ESPN that don't know shit about shit. Right.
Yeah. And I look at some of the lists that they put out. There was a list that was put out. I don't know if it was ESPN, but they put out the top 100 college football players of all time. And not listed on this list was Red Grange. Red Grange is the Babe Ruth of college football. You start with Red Grange and you work your way down.
Right.
Not on the list.
Right. Yeah. Of course, now one could argue, but this is the app for the streaming age. You're not going to get Red Grange highlights on our app.
Okay, but this wasn't for an app. This was just a list.
It was a poster of the legends, though. But you're right. The ESPN list is, oh, yeah, we didn't have Red Grange on there. Stupid.
But it's always like that, and it's done by somebody who's 30 years old. And it drives me crazy. All he's got to do is ask or Google now. Yeah. Research is so spectacularly easy. They don't do it.
Here's the problem, though, and this is just the way it is. And this is another point that my boy, One Account Rhodesy, made yesterday while playing golf today, actually. He said, look, you can't avoid it, though. If you're a sports fan, you cannot avoid at least watching SportsCenter to be up on what's going on. And he's not wrong about that. You can get a highlight or two, Andy, somewhere else, but it's not just seeing the highlight. You need properly edited packages about games and written by somebody with a clue to then be delivered by a host to get the full story of what actually happened, right?
I do not watch SportsCenter. I get my stuff off ESPN.com. I look at the stories. There's video to accompany it. I look at it. I watch Pardon the Interruption. I might watch like an end of a SportsCenter leading into it. But no, I don't watch the First Take or all that other chazarai. That's it.
Okay, but how do you know then what happened in a big game that's notable?
I look at ESPN.com and I read the story, yes. I can actually read. People.
Okay. Don't get chippy with me now, right?
I just heard that they said reading is down like 40% in the last 10 years.
I understand reading is something you're quite good at, Andy, and it delivers a lot of information. But what I'm talking about is the properly crafted highlight package is a unique thing that packs a lot of contextual information for the viewer, because you and I know how the sausage is and was made at ESPN and other places. For a game, any NFL game, let's say, for example, or a college football game, there's at least one production assistant, if not two, watching the game that are big fans and know what's going on. And they're logging certain plays, and they're making notes of certain plays, and then they're interfacing with the host who has to write the script where they go, okay, what happened here? Oh, well, there was a 4th and 1, and K-State got it, but there was a penalty for a false start. That was kind of crucial because then on 4th and 6, they went for it again and got sacked and fumbled. Okay, good. Let's put that in the package as a key turning point of the game. That takes humans watching the games, understanding sports, collaborating between the production assistant and the anchor, and then you got the highlight people that have to get the highlights and sequence them correctly. Know what I mean?
Now, you do a morning radio show that starts 7 o'clock Eastern.
Yes.
And then you do other things. Do you watch SportsCenter during the day? When do you consume your
SportsCenter? I don't consume it as much as I should, but I'm going to get myself back into watching it, as much as I fucking hate it. Like, they had some guy this morning. I watched it driving to the golf course today on my iPad, on my Tesla. While my Tesla was driving me, I got
driving?
To watch. Andy, the Tesla drives itself. I got nothing else to do, so I just got to watch SportsCenter on my iPad.
Wait, you have iPad a self-driving Mini. Tesla? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have a Tesla now. And
is it self-driving?
Yes, for $100 a month, you can get self-driving, and I do.
Wow.
Oh, it's amazing. Okay. I'll come take you for a drive. It'll blow your mind. Anyway, so I'm watching this morning, and they had some guy on, some nice black gentleman with a funny name, like Scooby something. And he was doing all of the kind of riffing sort of things to sound cool that was in that SNL skit with Ray Romano. Remember? You got to get to White Castle before the weirdos show up. And then he's like, hey, man, calm down. This is SportsCenter. This is the big time here. I don't need you doing that stuff. Like, you put the puck between her pooper? What does that mean exactly? He was like so trying to be cool on every highlight. And I'm like, oh, my God, please stop already. But I watched it because it was an easy way to get a sense of, okay, here's what's happening. You know, the Mets won or the Mets lost, and here's how they did it, or the Yankees got killed. Okay, the Yankees got killed like 12-1. They're sucking right now. They do the highlights. They show the game, and then they cut right to, you know, manager. I'm spacing right now on names now, but the Yankees Bob manager.
Boone? Huh? No, Brett Boone. Brett Boone?
not Brett Boone. God, I don't know why sometimes I get into this mode.
That's the Yankee manager, but okay, go ahead.
Aaron Boone, Andy.
Aaron Boone, yes. So that's right.
There's multiple Boone kids. So, yeah, so they cut right to Aaron Boone for a highlight or for a soundbite.
Yeah.
That takes people to do. When people say you can get your highlights on the internet, get your highlights on the app, what they deliver on those apps and on the websites is non-narrated highlights just stitched together. It carries no script of what happened in the game. It's just, here's 7 plays. Because they don't want to pay anybody to actually watch the game, and they don't want to pay anybody to write the script or deliver it. They're just like, here, throw it on the internet. You figure out what happened.
Right. Well, you can hear Stephen A. scream about it for a while. He gets all the money. So.
Well, anyway, I don't think I'm going to get the app, not because I couldn't afford the $30 a month. I'm not wild about paying it, but I think I've already got ESPN covered via my YouTube TV and other ways to watch ESPN.
Okay. So you're set.
All right. I would be remiss if I didn't get from you a thought on the Cracker Barrel rebrand that occurred last week. You being a huge Cracker Barrel guy. Every time you get on the road with you and your wife and the kids, you're like, oh, I can't wait to go to a Cracker Barrel where Jews feel at home.
No, actually, we used to go to the Cracker Barrel right after we pick up the kids from camp because it was on the way back.
And you would? Okay.
Yeah, we did. So that was a tradition. But, you know, my kids are in their 30s now. They've been to camp in many years. To me, it smacks of, and this happens in radio too, somebody has to justify their existence by making a change when change wasn't necessary.
Right.
I get it.
Right. Yeah. And then spend a lot of money on the change. Like just stripping the logo of the old man and the barrel cost, they said they had three different branding agencies and marketing agencies working on this rebrand. Three of them, Andy.
It's crazy because it seems to me they have great customer loyalty. If you like it, you like it. And why change? If you know, and is it going to get younger people now to go because the logo looks different?
I don't think so. I don't know exactly. And I don't know what Cracker Barrel's business profile looked like. Were they losing sales year over year? Were they in a slump? Do people really go to Cracker Barrel for the wooden slat chairs and the oak paneling and the bass on the wall, or do they just go because they like the fried chicken? I don't know, but people have made a big deal of it. So anyway,
But again, it's sometimes people make change for the sake of change to justify their job, which they were brought in to make change, and people don't necessarily want it.
100%, Andy. I tell this to people all the time, not in our business. About how it works. And I always say a new PD comes in and he's got his people, he's got his ideas, and they want to make sure that they give their people and their ideas all the runway possible to succeed. And if you're not one of their ideas, you're as good as dead to them. It's crazy.
Right, but generally, you know, sometimes PDs move on to better jobs, but generally the previous one has been fired. So the new guy can't come in and say, wow, this looks really good. Just keep doing what you're doing.
And PDs move around the country all the time. Yep. And so they have resigned themselves to a life. Some of them are married and drag their family with them, where they hop from city to city and don't know shit about the sports marketplace they're going to and start trying to make fucking changes.
Oh, yeah. I remember the consultants that I had to hold my breath through.
And you know, for guys like us that are talent, we're trying to pay a mortgage and raise a family on a salary that is so dependent on the whims of idiots from out of town.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they hold their future in your hands. You got to accept that when you get in.
You do have to accept it, and you have to learn to navigate through them. You have to learn to navigate through them, around them, play the game, accept that it is what it is, but you just cannot throw your hands in the air. You have to, those are the cards that are dealt. You got to play the game.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. And then finally, this one, we'll see if they are able to pull it off. Southwest Airlines, in addition to their changes that they're going through, people aren't happy about that, including me, where they're going to assign seats because they want to get people to pay for the better ones, which other airlines have been doing. They're going to charge for bags, at least for one bag for now, maybe for any bags coming soon. Or two bags, I think they charge you for. The first bag's free, second bag costs instead of two that are free. But one of the changes they say they're going to do is they say that plus-sized passengers who do not fit into a normal seat will be required to pay for two seats starting in January.
Yeah, that had been floated around for a while. I thought it had been something that had been in effect, but I guess it's now being enforced. Is that the plan?
No, they say they're going to do it, but not until January. Do you know the mayhem that this is going to cause when they start measuring the fat calipers and the oozing of you're 4 inches over the, you know, middle of the seat, and then the fat guy's like, but what about that fat guy back there? And they're going to bitch and moan. Like, I think a lot of us are very sympathetic towards, hey, you're 500 pounds. You can't just buy one seat. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you want to be in the middle seat when there's a 500-pound person sitting next to the window? I don't think so.
And look, you know, a woman with a particularly broad caboose who's only 250 – I say only 250. Her natural caboose may be so wide that you can't possibly fit into the seat.
Yeah, I do other airlines have this as well?
No, this is going to be an industry first, I believe, where they actually try to do this. We'll see how it works. You know what? If it was me, Andy, I would have the seats have dividers that stick out a good 2 feet so that it is clear that this is your space and that you are wedged into it. I'd rather be wedged in to my own space where I know this is my space than have to deal with rubbing arms and bumping elbows and tussling for real estate.
No question.
Does that make me crazy?
No. And I guess you wouldn't be able to put the armrests up.
No. You wouldn't. It would sort of be like cubbies. Like if you can fit into the cubby. And then, you know, the airlines could sell wider cubbies. Like here's a 24-inch cubby. Here's a 20-inch cubby. What do you need? Measure yourself at home.
It's like a carnival ride. You have to be this thin to get on this plane.
All right. So here we go, Andy. Another ride on the sports calendar, beginning with college football this coming weekend, Texas, Ohio State, the final show for Lee Corso. There's a wonderful ESPN doc out about Lee Corso. Was that good as well?
It was good. It was. I thought it could have been better, but it was. It was good. Kirk Herbstreit cried on it, so that was good.
That's what he does. He's an emotional guy.
Exactly.
Nice guy. Good dogs. Dog act now. He's got dogs. Do you know he's got dogs, Andy?
I know.
One of the few guys to have dogs in the world. It's amazing. He keeps pet dogs.
I know. Bringing the dog out on the field. Like, we really needed that. Did you get all your trimming
done? I did. Do you want to see? I got a time-lapse video if I can show it. Can I send it to you?
I mean, only manly men do that. So I think that's something that, you know, needs to be out there on the internet.
Boy, you are so soft. You are so politically correct. You didn't like me implying that only men string trimmed.
No, but there was somebody who put out on Twitter that you equated it with storming the beaches at Normandy, which I thought was funny.
Well, I didn't mean to put it that high, but it's a bitch of a job. Okay? Nobody likes doing it. And I guarantee you, 0.1% are women that pick up that string trimmer. When was the last time you picked one up?
When I had a house that needed one. I live in a townhouse now. I don't have to do it.
Do you have somebody come and do it?
It's part of my homeowner's duties.
Nice! Okay, so a little sliver of grass on the front and the sides and by the sidewalk, and there's probably some around the bottom of your deck, right?
Yeah. We got a pretty big stretch in the back, yeah. Okay. I mean, I hear the mowers coming around every week now. Yeah, it's nice.
Sounds glorious. Do you know if there's any Zillow listings open in your neighborhood? Can I come over?
I'm sure you can find a place, and I have a spare bedroom downstairs, full shower.
Are you willing to rent it out?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, Andy. Good to talk as always, and we will chat next week.
Very good. See you. I'm easy like Sunday morning.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.